Greetings. I'm George Geis, and I'd like to talk a little bit about some of the recent turbulence in our financial markets. And I'll briefly explore three questions. First of all, how big of a deal is this? Second, why did it happen? And third, what should we do about it? First, is this really a big deal? I think here the answer has to be yes. Recent events have suggested that we're really at a momentous turn in the functioning of our global capital markets. The credit markets have arrested, and many banks are unwilling to let their money flow out of their current firm borders. Some of the few investments that are being made with record risk premium terms. And finally, more dominoes are teetering and may fall over at any point in time. I think that some very momentous recent events are the fact that, first of all, investors are willing to invest their money in treasury bills, even at a guaranteed loss, simply to guarantee the fact that they're not going to face this uncertainty over the next month. We've never seen that before. Second, I think there's a hallowed ground that we've now tread upon because we've broken the buck on money market funds, which essentially means that money markets, which are always supposed to keep assets worth, you know, a dollar per dollar investment, no longer have that degree of protection, and people are going to be concerned about whether money markets truly are a safe place to put their money. And finally, there's incredible pressure on our derivatives markets, especially these credit default swaps. And there may be incredible pain with relation to those if the dominoes do continue to fall. Second question, why did it happen? At a high level, I think it's a complex question. I think it resists any simple answer. But more directly, we do clearly have a liquidity problem. Take AIG. At one point in time, AIG wrote over $440 billion in credit default swaps. These are instruments that serve as a form of protection against the default on any sort of security. So if I invest in a bond and that bond goes bankrupt, AIG was going to, you know, step in and make me whole on that payment. Almost $60 billion of that exposure was tied to subprime mortgage instruments. And as losses mounted on those subprime instruments, this triggered an additional collateral call, or AIG was forced to put up more money to show that it would back its promises. This in turn triggered a ratings downgrade on AIG, and this in turn triggered more margin calls. Well, AIG could not raise this money, not at any price, because no one was willing to purchase any of its unknown assets, and it was just unable to, on a short-term basis, go out and get this money. This is why the government had to step in and bail out AIG in order to extend it the cash that it needed to meet these obligations, not only to keep this massive firm from failing, but also because of these other, you know, almost $400 billion in credit default swap positions that it had, such that the counterparties to those investments wouldn't be incredibly nervous or incredibly underwater as well. The harder question, in addition to the liquidity problem, is the extent to which some of these changes are affecting substantive operations. So to continue with the AIG example, while they're facing these liquidity crises, they're also likely facing an operational cash shortflow. Customers are going to be unwilling to perhaps to do business with them because they're nervous that this company's not going to be around. Likewise, they're having to forego some sensible investments because they just don't have the cash to actually go out and make these investments. Final question, what should we do about it? I think short term, we've just got to figure out a way to pull ourselves out of the quicksand. Hank Paulson is going to try to continue to basically serve as a government private equity venture, picking and choosing which firms to invest in. He is not going to have free choice over which firms are out there, but he is going to be making some investment decisions to prop up firms that he thinks are going to be critical. Some of these investments may not prove to be bad at the end of the day, and the taxpayer may end up making money off of AIG. Some of them, you know, will not be so successful, but the point is that he's going to try to be maintaining some of this liquidity where he sees it's critical. Secondly, the governments are going to act in concert with other foreign governments to try to continue to inject liquidity into the system so you don't have this problem where people can't raise money at any price. Finally, we may see a rate cut. The Fed may come in and say there is either a confidence booster that we need to put in place here, or there's this risk of operational shortcomings, and we think that it's okay for us to drop interest rates a little bit to try to, you know, boost some fundamental economic investment. Long term, this problem is going to create an appetite for fundamental regulatory change. Hank Paulson had a blueprint for reform in March of this year. That's going to be dusted off. People are going to take a closer look at that. And I think there's a realistic chance that we'll begin to see some momentum away from industry-level regulation. So insurance companies get regulated one way, Wall Street banks another way, commercial banks another way, and move much towards a functional type of regulation where we're going to have a group that looks at just market stability issues, a group that looks at how government guarantees should be used, and a group that looks at business conduct to make sure that people are getting the right licenses and people are comporting with what they should be doing on that end. I think the real trick here is not to make change for change's sake, but to make sure that we're being smart as we think through the way that we're fundamentally changing this regulatory area.